We looked at the Passover last week. We're going to continue through chapter 12 and start chapter 13 this week. But if you look in your Bibles, in chapter 12, we'll start in verse 21. And we'll read from there. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves, according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose early in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said and be gone and bless me also.' And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.' So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their cloths on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot beside children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, the flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt in a night of solemn observance to the Lord from bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you.' Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you. We thank you that you're here among us, in us. We pray that you'd minister to us from your word this evening. We pray that you'd meet us in our need, encourage us, draw us close to you, that we would hear you, that we would obey. Bless our time together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to revisit a couple of the topics we looked at last week. We're going to look at the Lamb who was Jesus. We're going to look at leaven. We're going to dig into those topics a little bit deeper. If we have time, we're going to look at three more points: staying, teaching, and eating. So we'll see how far we get with the 5 points. But first, the Lamb. Last week we looked at the scripture where Jesus told in John 5:39, I'll read it once again. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." The scriptures testify of Jesus. Remember Sunday, for those of you that were with us Sunday, where my dad talked about the two on the road of Emmaus, to Emmaus. Now Jesus joined them and spoke with them. And then their hearts burned within them as Jesus began with Moses to share with them all the things concerning himself. I'm sure part of the conversation was, "Hey guys, I'm the Passover lamb." Explained it to him, pointed it out to him throughout all the scripture. Remember how God promised that through the seed of the woman there would come one to bruise the head of the serpent? That was me. And right from the beginning all the way to the end, Jesus was showing them all throughout scripture it had to do with me. It was speaking of me. I'm the Lamb. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. There's a verse in Hebrews where the author says, "The main point of the things we are saying is that we have a high priest seated on the right hand of the throne of God." Who is that high priest? Jesus. That's the main point the author of Hebrews was trying to make. That's the main point of the whole of Scripture. Jesus. That's the main point of everything. The most important thing. Certainly, the main point of the Passover. So as we continue to look at this, you gotta make that the central focus. Jesus is the Lamb. That's the main point of everything. He, the Lamb. So what are the lessons to be learned of this Lamb? The Lamb. Interesting, throughout the chapter, you'll notice it talks of the Lamb in a singular sense. All the families were to take a Lamb, to choose a Lamb, and that the Lamb was to be sacrificed. Pointing to it in a singular sense. Although everyone had a different Lamb, there were many, many lambs. But see, Moses, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recording the scripture, there was the flow of knowing that the Lamb pointed to one Lamb to come, Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb. What lessons can we learn? We can learn that just as the blood of the Lamb sacrificed, put it on the door mantle, covered the sin, so Jesus and the blood of Jesus is our salvation and redemption and covers our sin. I want to take a quick little journey through Scripture about the Lamb. Turn to John. The lessons we learn of Jesus being the Lamb. John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist, who had the spirit of Elijah, the forerunner, in verse 29 of chapter 1 of John, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" That's the lesson of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Imagine he's saying, "Behold, look at him for us today. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see the lesson of the Lamb. Jesus takes away our sins. He's the Lamb. Lessons of the Lamb. Turn to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19, and we'll start in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. In the Passover, they were to take a lamb without spot or blemish. Jesus was that lamb. And it's by him and his sacrifice that we are redeemed. He takes away our sin. He redeems us, the lessons of the lamb. Turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. The lessons of the Lamb. He owns salvation. Salvation belongs to him. The lessons of the Lamb. Behold, he's our hope. He forgives our sin. He covers us. He takes away. He redeems. He saves. Look at verse 14 of Revelation 7. And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The tribulation saints, this isn't referring to us. But just as the blood of the Lamb washed their robes and made them white and pure and clean, so Jesus cleanses us. The Lamb, the lessons from the Lamb, he can make us clean. He can wash us. Because he is the Lamb. Chapter 13 of Revelation. Revelation speaks of Jesus being the Lamb much more than any other book of the Bible. Many, many references. Chapter 13, verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written, whose names have not been written in the book of life. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. The book of Revelation tells that what matters when it comes to eternity, the one thing that matters is if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life or not. Everyone whose name is not written will be cast into the lake of fire. But everyone whose name is written will spend eternity with him. You see, it's his book, the Lamb's book. There's only one book. There's only one Lamb. See, the lessons of the Lamb is not only that he saves us, he cleanses us, he redeems us, he takes away our sins, but that he's the only one who can do so. No one else. He has the only book in which we need to have our names entered. The lessons from the Lamb, our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope, and our only hope. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's not my idea that he is the only one that can cleanse and redeem. This is what the Bible teaches. This is the truth of God's word. He is our hope and our salvation. He and only he can save us and cleanse us from our sin. But there's more. There's more to him being the Lamb than the fact that he just saves us and cleanses us from our sin. There's much more. There's lots. Turn back to John chapter 1. If you want to follow along, you don't have to jump around if you don't want. John 1:36. And looking at Jesus, this is John the Baptist again, as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, a second time. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Not only is this the Lamb that can take away our sin and save us and redeem us, he is the Lamb to be followed. He's not only the one that paid the price for us, but he's the one that wants to lead us through life every step of the way, and he's the destination we come to in the end. Go back to Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, if you want to follow along. Him being the Lamb means so much. 7:17, the Bible tells us, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See, He does more than just take our sins and redeem us. He leads us in the way we should go. He wipes away our tears. He has so much in store for us, beyond and past just saving us from our sins, but leading us. Look at chapter 12, verse 11 of Revelation. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Here's a group of people that overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Not just salvation of their souls, the redemption of their sin, but overcoming, victory by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the Lamb means so much to us. Chapter 14, verse 4. These are those who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Speaking of the 144,000, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. These men, they followed Him wherever He goes. Oh, that we would follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Chapter 19, verse 7 of Revelation. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. Look at verse 9. Then they said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. See, in the end, where we're headed for eternity, a wedding feast where we're joined to the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're united with Him. He saves us. He's our only hope for entrance, but then He's our destination. We're His bride, the Lamb of God. Chapter 21, verse 2 of Revelation. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's not it. 21, verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, is the temple. The Lamb are its temple. You see, the Lamb is so much through eternity. We're His bride. But then He's the temple. There's not a building, it's Him. Look at verse 23 of the same chapter. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Through eternity, we're going to find out how much the Lamb means. Much more than we could ever comprehend today. He's everything. He will be the temple. He will be the light. He will sustain us and fulfill us as we're united to Him. Chapter 22, verse 1 of Revelation. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The clear living water coming from the throne of the Lamb of God. He will, from Him, we will drink of His fullness. The Lamb of God means so much. He is our redemption, our Savior, the only one. He is our destination. He is everything to us. And you know what else? If you turn to chapter 5 of Revelation, because He is all that, because He is the Lamb of God, He is worthy of our praise and worship. Chapter 5, verse 12 of Revelation, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This is going to be one of the songs of eternity. Worthy is the Lamb. We can sing it now, but we'll sing it for eternity. He is so worthy of our worship and our praise because He is the Lamb. He is all of this because He was slain as a sacrifice. See, that's why the Lamb is the title, because of the price He paid. We will know that for all of eternity. That will be very significant to us. He is worthy. He's also judge. Look at chapter 6, verse 16. This is the last verse in Revelation we'll look at. chapter 6, verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Not only is he all that good stuff, but he's also judge. And he will judge because of who he is. He paid that ultimate price, and he offered that gift to each and every individual throughout all of eternity. So it's his right and his duty to judge those who refuse it and reject him. He is the only judge. Just as he is the only Savior, he is the only judge. We will all stand before him and give an account to him. And he will be so precious to those of us that have received. But he will judge. Oh, the reality of Jesus being the Lamb of God. Turn back to Exodus 12. It means so much to us, the fact that he is the Lamb. Last week we also looked at leaven. What is leaven? We read last week in chapter 12, verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So they were to part of the Passover. See, the main point is all about Jesus being the Lamb. But there were other points. There were other things to learn. And they were to remove the leaven from their houses. That was part of the Passover. And we looked at how leaven represents sin through Scripture. What is leaven? Well, the Bible teaches us, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they didn't understand him at first, but he explained himself and specifically said, it's the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. So that's a form of leaven, hypocrisy. But also he said it's the doctrine of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is also referred to malice, as malice and wickedness in Corinthians. It's referred to as there's different types of leaven. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. See, there's different types of sin, different manifestations of sin. Malice, wickedness, hypocrisy, false teaching. And these things represented as leaven in the Passover were to be removed. See, the Bible also looks at leaven and it shows how it's mixed with things. It's mixed with sacrifices. It's not to be. The Bible says don't mix leaven with the sacrifice. Mixed with offerings. It's not to be mixed. It was in their houses and in their quarters. Mixed in their living places, and it wasn't to be. Mixed with the blood of the sacrificed. Mixed in with the feast. Mixed in, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who took a little leaven and hid it in a measure of wheat. Mixed in even spiritual things. Church. And how it's easy for corruption and sin to be mixed in with things. And it spoils it. The Bible teaches a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now part of the lesson of the Passover is not to mix in that junk with what God has called us to do, with our duties to Christ, with our worship, with our sacrifices. And it does so often. Oh, I want to give things to God. Well, why don't you give to God so that you can get and mix in greed with your giving and worship? Why don't you mix in pride so that people will think you're good when you do good stuff? And there's all this mixing of leaven in with the offerings and sacrifices and with many different things. So the lesson of a little bit can ruin it all and spoil it. To purge it out. Turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. What did Paul speak about leaven? Chapter 5, we'll look at verses 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See, when we receive Jesus in the blood of the Lamb and we're born again and saved, we're purged and cleansed and redeemed and saved, and the leaven is forgiven. But don't remix in the leaven with the whole process. Purge it out. Continue to root it out and take it out as you see it. Lesson of the leaven. Remove the sin from your life. Don't give place for it. You give place for just a little bit of sin, and it permeates your whole life. You can't give place for any sin. We're sinners by nature and we'll continue to find leaven in our house. But we should never give place for it and keep it. We have to purge it out. Get rid of it. Lesson. Don't mix it in. Get rid of it. And notice, look at back in Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse 34. Maybe a trick in removing the leaven. Verse 34. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Look at verse 39. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. When I worked at King's, we would make pizza dough. Part of the process, we would take a bucket of water, we'd mix in the salt and the sugar, and then we put the yeast in, the leaven. And we'd have to wait and let it activate, permeate, get all in the water. And then we'd mix it all up, and it would be a leavened lump of dough. Now, Israel, when they were brought out of Egypt, the dough hadn't been leavened yet. They didn't wait. They had to bake it in a hurry and take it with them. Therefore, it was unleavened. See, we have to leave when God says leave. We have to obey. We have to follow Him. If we tarry in the world, then we become leavened. The sin permeates all of us. We have to leave right away. We have to be quick to follow and listen. That was part of the reason why their dough was unleavened, because they couldn't wait. They had to go then. See, you spend enough time in the world, you will become leavened and vexed. Lot, the Bible says righteous Lot, was vexed in his heart because he was around the wickedness. He's seen it and heard it from day to day, and it vexed him. When God says, come out, we can't wait. If we wait, we'll become leavened. If we leave, let Him wash us and cleanse us. We depart before we're leavened. So the lesson, the Lamb, Jesus being so much, meaning so much, the main point of everything, leaven the sin, to remove, not mix it in with anything, to remove it. Don't be condemned when you recognize leaven. Maybe you, like me, have given place to sin in your life at times. Maybe now there's a place in your life for sin. The Bible says, today if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. It's God's worried about right now. You could have had a leavened life and hidden secret leaven in your heart for your whole life. And God's speaking to you today. Remove it. Bring it out. Come out. That's what God's concerned with. And He can cleanse you today. And you can go forward today. Now, all of that past messed up, He's gracious and loving. His mercies are new every day. But if we allow the leaven to continue to leaven our lump, it cuts us off from fellowship. But as we looked at last week, anybody who ate unleavened bread were cut off from the congregation. We can't, you ever feel like you just can't connect with God? Some people seem to hear His voice. Some people seem to see His hand. And you feel like there's a disconnect between you and God. Sin does that. And if you come to Him and remove the sin, and He does the process. We bring it to Him. He takes it away from us. He redeems us from it. But that's the path in which we get more and more of an intimate relationship with God. The more leaven in our life, the less intimate our relationship with God. The more we follow Him right away, remove it, give it to Him, the closer we get to God. Lessons from the leaven. It's 8:30. Let's go on to the next point. These are kind of mini points. They won't be as long. Staying. Look at chapter 12, verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Part of the Passover. The blood. I'll see the blood of Passover, but you got to stay in the house. God told them through Moses and Aaron, stay in the house. No one shall depart. Stay. Staying. See, we're redeemed. We're born again. We accept Christ as our Savior. And there's warnings throughout all of Scripture not to depart. Judgment's coming. The destroyer's coming, just as in the Passover in Egypt. You don't want to be out of your house. You don't want to be caught out of the house, outside the blood. This is a time, as things are crazy in the world. Everything's crazy. Judgment's coming soon. This is a time to be close to Jesus and be under His covering. You don't want to just depart and just do your own thing and just go out there. You want to draw in and be as close as you can to Jesus. I'm not preaching that you can lose your salvation. I'm not preaching that no matter what you do, you can keep your salvation. I'm saying that this is a time to be under the blood of Jesus and close to Him and not departing. Now listen, you're close to Jesus and you're seeking Him. You're giving you're purging yourself of your sin. You're crying out to Him. You're safe. You say, but I'm a horrible person. I keep sinning. You're safe. You just stay there. You continue to pray, cry out, seek Him, reach out, give Him the sin. You're safe. But don't ever get to the point, well, just forget it. I'm leaving. I don't know what's going to happen if you do that. Many people leave and God brings them back. I've heard the stories. But I don't want to be caught outside the house when judgment comes. I want to be inside the house. I want you all to be in the house too. Close to Jesus. Don't depart. Stay. Don't look to anything else. There's that famous quote, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. If you know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, don't do anything different. It would be far more insane to depart from the truth to try to bring about a different result. You think, here I am with Jesus and everything's the same and I'm not getting what I want, so I'm going to leave. Oh, that's insane. Especially if you know that He is the truth. He is the way. He is the Lamb of God. Never depart. Stay. Staying. Next point, teaching. God made it clear through Moses and Aaron to all the people that they would to continue to observe the Passover and that their children would ask them, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And that they were to teach their children the lessons of the Passover, what God did in Egypt. God places special emphasis on us teaching the next generation. For those of you that have kids, know that it's God's heart for you to teach them, to impart to them, to show them that Jesus is the Lamb of God. What the Bible says, the lessons you've learned of God, it's important for you to teach them that. And even those of us that don't have kids, there's a responsibility for every generation of believers to pass it on to the next generation. Show them, teach them. You know, I'm in a certain generation, I don't know all the terms and the when the generations change and all that, but there's people today from previous generations. And I want to hear and learn and draw from what they've experienced. Teach me, show me. Don't neglect. Don't depart without passing on what God has shown you. And then I see little nieces and nephews and kids from the next generation. And I want to play my part in showing them the truth of Jesus, the Lamb of God. That sin needs to be taken away. That there's hope. That there's truth. I want to play my part. And God places special emphasis on that. Make sure when they ask, and do the things that make them ask, that you tell them. Find teaching moments and pass it on. Teaching the next generation. Final point, and then we'll close. Eating. The Passover was a feast. 15 times in chapter 12 of Exodus and once in chapter 13. It says to eat the Passover. And that was a big part of it. Eating the lamb. Eating the unleavened bread. Partaking of it. Now, who's the Lamb of God? Jesus. What does the unleavened bread represent? Remember when Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples, he took the unleavened bread. Remember what he said? Take, eat, this is my body that was broken for you. So another lesson of the Passover is to receive from Jesus, to abide in him, to connect to him, to receive from him. You know, when we take communion, that's kind of the whole part of it. This is my body, this is my blood. There's a unity, a connection, a communion between us and God. That's what God wants us to have, where we receive from him. We take in, we're filled by his Spirit, we abide, we take part, we relate, we become one with him, we relate to him. Relationship. That's part of the lesson of the Passover. They were to eat the lamb, they were to eat the bread, and we're to receive from Christ all that he has from us, for us. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled with the Spirit. We got to take in more. We got to continue to take in. See, this is one of the sources, God's Word. We got to take it in. This is the Word of God in text form. And we take it in. We ingest it. We read it. And we pray and his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God, and we receive of his Spirit afresh and anew on a daily basis. We need more of him. We need to take in more of him. Part of the lesson of the Passover, receiving from him. We need him, that we would receive from him. So those are all my points. Jesus, the Lamb of God, our everything. Oh, it means so much to us. Leaven, the sin in our lives. Purge out the old leaven. Removing, leaving the world, listening to God immediately, staying under his blood, teaching the next generation, and eating, receiving from him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you love us and that you are the Lamb of God, the price that you paid, and you being our salvation and redemption and our hope. Lord, help us to connect to that reality, to understand who you are more and more each day, to love you for what you've done. We pray that you draw us close to you. Lord, show us the leaven in our life. Remove condemnation and stir a desire within us to be holy, to give up anything sinful. Give us hope of change. You being the Lamb of God can give us victory as we follow you. Lord, purge out our leaven. Make us holy. You, the unleavened bread, help us receive and partake in that which is free and pure and right without defilement. Cleanse us. Lord, help us stay close to you. Give us opportunity to teach and to impart to others your truths. We love you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.